I'm speaking with Tom Slate, President and CEO of the U.S. Grains Council, and we're going to touch on a number of topics. First of all, Tom, let's talk about, well, exports and about the grain exports in the most recently concluded marketing year of 2013-2014. How have we seen our grain exports do?
Well, Cindy, thanks. Where we are right now, the council, you know, has kind of been an interesting few years here with the drought of 2012 and then, you know, a very sharp drop in U.S. Sales and market share plunge around the world. And since that drought, one thing that we've been telling our folks all around the world that now it's time to really dig in and dig in hard, to, you know, have a year-long conversation with our customers, recoup our market share and recoup our sales. And, of course, now with an abundant, you know, competitively priced crop, plus our reputation for quality and contract and deliveries, we've been able to get back where we needed to be. Like, for instance, in Japan, we've had a 90% plus market share since April. So, you know, that's all great. I mean, so, again, it's just getting out there and talking to these buyers and making sure they understand what the U.S. supply capability will be.
One of the ways that you facilitated exports to Japan is your corn harvest quality and corn export cargo quality reports. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Cindy, it's part of what I was talking about, this year-long constant conversation with our buyers, making them aware of what's going on both with planting intentions, planting itself, crop progress, and then ultimately crop quality in terms of the harvest quality and export quality reports. It's something we've been doing for 3 years now. We're going to continue it this year. It's something that separates ourselves from our competitors, you know, from other global competitors, because, again, our buyers are aware of what's going on in the United States. They're a constant dialogue, a constant conversation. This is the point. You know, we're constantly trying to be engaged, and so they understand what's going on with the U.S. crop, and that makes them, you know, the educated consumer is our best customer type of slogan that was so popular here a while ago.
Well, speaking of the crop progress, we're seeing, of course, a record harvest begin here for corn and for soybeans also, but what are you hearing from our customers overseas as we're harvesting this record corn crop?
You know, it's one of those interesting things. They see this big crop coming off you know, a pretty typical response to something like that is buyers suddenly start to get a little tentative. You know, they're all kind of waiting for that, that harvest, you know, drop in price. We're seeing that a little bit now, but also we're seeing the fact that, you know, customers are coming back to the U.S. market strongly. We're having an export exchange meeting. This is a meeting we have every other year. We're in conjunction with a Renewable Fuels Association, but we're having well over 200 buyers representing 160 different companies from 31 different countries around the world coming to Seattle to learn about this great big crop we have and U.S. supply capability. So, yeah, they're paying attention. They're paying attention real closely, very, you know, eager to see the U.S. Getting back to where they all knew our productive capacity lies.
Well, one of our biggest issues when it comes to our trading partners seems to be biotechnology. How is the U.S. Grains Council helping to address this issue with our trading partners and educate them a little bit in as far as biotechnology is concerned?
Yeah, it's a heavy lift. We've been at it for quite some time, and you know, biotechnology concerns seem to ebb and flow, and we're certainly at a time right now where concerns all around the world are heightened, in particular places like China, but also, you know, other places, European Union, of course, Turkey, real problems, Korea, some concerns that are getting worse there, even Taiwan, some places where we've had a pretty solid base of understanding of these things. I think it's one of these things that we continually have to be out there 24/7, you know, with our folks, with our offices around the world, and constantly talking to these folks, because one of the biggest problems they have around the world is that they get a lot of anti-publicity from different organizations in their home countries, and they want to be able, how can we counter this? You know, what are some information pieces and research and communication pieces we can look at to counter some of these negativities that we have out there. And that's something that we're doing a lot more of because, it just seems to be getting worse instead of better. But I think that if we keep that, you know, that constant communication, we start to, you know, break down these barriers. And again, I think you're seeing things like just a statement a couple of days ago with the FAO, you know, saying we need biotechnology for global food security and, you know, conservation of resources and environmental quality, all these sorts of statements, they'll help. We just have to keep at it. And I think we're going to have, you know, a couple more kind of really heavy lift years on this subject, because there's some really serious questions, and we've got to you know, correct misperceptions, and we've got to talk to them about the benefits, you know, for the environment, for themselves. It's an ongoing process. It's really hard work, but we're hard at it.
Well, one of the an example of this, I guess, is the AgriSure Duracade biotech trait, and how farmers need to make decisions on the farm that might have a trait impact. So they have to be sure that they're following the stewardship requirements under this particular biotech trait. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you're spot on, Cindy. That's exactly what we're talking about. I mean, in a kind of a simplistic way, we always talk about, I think, that, you know, farmers are probably, even though they may not know it, some of the most global business people in the world. In other words, what happens around the world usually it will affect, you know, what happens with food prices and grain prices. And it's the reverse is true too. So what farmers do on their own production decisions and harvest decisions and marketing decisions will have global implications whether they like it or not. And so what we're trying to always do is talk to people about, let's have a nice, clean, fully compliant stewardship program on the AgriSure Duracade, so that farmers can continue to have access to that technology. But we cannot let these unapproved varieties get into the export market, because it creates a lot of problems. And just when we seem to be getting over problems, something like this, if it leaks into the export market, can start troubles all over again. So we need to make sure that farmers have pay attention to those stewardship agreements. I know they will, and we have, you know, we can demonstrate to the world that we can have a clean stewardship program that keeps those unapproved varieties out of their markets.
Getting back to the export exchange coming up here in just a couple of weeks, talk a little bit about the export, particularly of distillers' grains, the co-product of ethanol, and how this export exchange event has helped educate, and what the Grains Council is doing also in other countries to educate people with the use of DDGS as livestock feed.
Yeah, Cindy, we've been spending probably about the last 15 years on feeding trials and demonstrating the effectiveness of DDGS as a feed ingredient. I think that sort of work has really paid off, and paid off, you know, nicely with a very broad spectrum of markets that are importing from the United States. In fact, you know, every time we go to a different country, even smaller ones like places like Myanmar, you know, Burma, or even like faraway places like Kenya are interested when we start talking about the feed. It's the feed ingredient itself. Where we have right now is, again, this year is very particularly important for DDGs because of, you know, again, the connection of the biotech problems, biotech acceptance problems in China, and you know, and particularly with, you know, corn as grain, and now with DDGs, it's very important that we really continue to aggressively reach out to markets all across the world, while still trying to solve our problems in China, but all across the world, to make sure they're aware of this product. And now, you know, it's a very competitively priced product. So we'll be doing a lot of talk to buyers, talking to buyers when they come to Export Exchange in Seattle.
Well, solving the problems in China, what is being done there? Of course, we can, as you said, this Export Exchange is important because we're growing new markets in addition to China, but China is such a big market. When we have this kind of issue, what can the Grains Council do, and what are other organizations doing and the government doing to try and solve these issues?
Yeah, I think a lot of really good folks are working on this problem on both sides of the ocean here. What the Council has done is we've tried to facilitate a discussion between suppliers, between the industry itself, the DDG industry itself, and, you know, Chinese inspection authorities. This has gone pretty well. There's been a very strong communication between them, and we're still working that out, trying to get to some final points of agreement. But that's going to take a little bit more time because, you know, their sensitivities are high. But, you know, making sure that, you know, we're talking to them and trying to keep this problem from being, you know, unnaturally inflated, that's our goal. And so the talking to them accomplishes that. But also we need to have that higher level, and we've been getting really excellent support from the U.S. government on this, from U.S. Department of Agriculture, from U.S. Trade Representative's Office, and the administration in general on engaging China on a more higher level discussion about the policies of biotech acceptance, synchronous approval, low level presence, and how that all contributes to helping meet China's food security goals. And so, you know, we're kind of attacking this problem from all different perspectives using a bunch of really sharp folks, and engage, because we need to answer a lot of questions, and we're doing that right now.
The ongoing trade talks in TTIP and TPP, what impact could those trade negotiations and ultimately resolutions have on U.S. grains exports?
Well, they're pretty dramatic. TPP, I think that's going to change for U.S. agriculture as a whole. That's going to really open a lot of different markets for not only grain but also processed products. The council just finished a study looking at TTIP, the impact of TTIP, and a pretty extraordinary number that we could maybe gain as much as a million tons of new exports of feed grains, of coarse grains, to the European Union if with a successful TTIP. Now, I think that's a little optimistic, but you know, it's sort of a measure of what's at stake here, and again, why the world belongs to those who show up. That we engage and stay engaged in these negotiations. They're very tense. I think the negotiations between Japan and the U.S. they're hard at it. We're looking watching that very closely, but the council remains very supportive and very engaged in a positive outcome for those two agreements, TTIP and TPP, but also one that helps, doesn't push agriculture aside and maintains market access for agricultural products. That's really very important for us and agricultural products across the spectrum.
Well, Tom, finally, I'd like you to just give us a little bit of an overview. It seems like the Grains Council is always growing. Where are you located now, the different offices around the world, and what are some of your activities worldwide?
Well, right now we have 9 offices around the world, and we're spending about 40% of our resources in Asia and about another 40% of our resources in the Western Hemisphere, Latin America, South America, Mexico, so forth. The other 20% kind of more or less in the middle part of the world, in the Middle East, North Africa, very key market for us, one that's come back quite nicely. Our newest office we just opened up is a program office in Tanzania. We're working on a Food for Progress project, more longer-term agricultural development type program, a little bit of a different emphasis than what the council normally does. But the idea is that we want to have U.S. producers and agribusiness represented all around the world. And, we have some challenges, too, like, for instance, with the struggles that are going on in the Middle East and North Africa, we have some real issues there, and we have to be careful and watch out for our folks, on safety and security issues. So it's never a dull moment in terms of our global presence, but we always like to say the sun never sets on the U.S. Grains Council globally.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. That's Tom Slate, President and CEO of the U.S. Grains Council. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.